Next to a swamp full of toads was a slanted wood shack with three little kids and a mama. Papa died in 16.
All right, gather around, drag up a stool. It's time for Liberty Lounge. 2 full hours of classic country music with a splash of news thrown in for good measure. Let's take a break from the current trials and tribulations and try to start our weekend out on a lighter note. Liberty Lounge starts right now.
Well, now, since it's Friday, and just to show my appreciation, we'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?
Do that again.
You are so stupid.
That's right.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
That's right.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
That's right.
This is crazy. What's going on here?
I don't know.
I love it.
$100 smoking in my billfold.
Quack, quack.
I know I ought to save it, but it's burning. Right through my pocket and into my skin. Come Monday morning, I'll be broke again. It's finally Friday, I'm free again. I got my motor running for a wild weekend. It's finally Friday, I'm out of control. Forget the working blues and let the good times roll.
All we want to do is pop your wad.
I got a little sugar baby down the road. She's sitting on
Kid, is that okay?
Uh-huh.
Stop that. You'll go blind.
It's wet, but it stretches.
It's huge!
Holy poofy Fittipelli.
You're a bad problem, Mr.
I'll be hurting with my head in a vice. Tuesday, I'll be wondering if I'll ever survive. Wednesday and a Thursday, I'll be slowly tuning in. Friday, I'll be revving up my motor up.
To do it.
That is unbelievable, man.
So in my best kindergarten voice, I said,
the answer is
Ruthie Fittipelli.
That's right.
It's Friday.
That's right.
All right. It's not as early as I hoped it would be. I had a lot of stuff to do. This has been a very hectic day, and Amy got called away and didn't make it back till just a few minutes ago. So I've been trying to hustle around here and get some things prepared for the show. Edge of the Woods is going to be in here with me tonight. By the way, this is what would normally be the shooting bench, but on Friday night, of course, it's Liberty Lounge, where we take a little break from all the mess going on here and listen to a little music and just basically try to have a good time and get ready for a good weekend. Edge of the Woods will be joining me here in probably 20 minutes or so, and ought to have a good show tonight. That was another problem, is Amy just brought pizza in here, so I'm trying to eat pizza and listen to the radio to try to get word from Edge of the Woods and get this show going. So here we are. It's the 10th of July, and it's a Friday. So So that means we need to get started with a little music. We had a great class today. It was really interesting. Had a what we call an advanced concealed carry class. The only reason we call it that is just to differentiate the standard concealed carry. Regular concealed carry here in Arizona, they don't require very much, so we do a 4-hour class. It's all classroom. And for those that want to get the classroom information and go out and shoot a little bit, then we have what we call an advanced and go out and let them go out and pop off, 50 rounds or so. And it works out well. It gives, everybody a chance to kind of see. They can't really practice real hard on their techniques and stuff. But at least they get to show them and try them a little bit. But what it does is kind of encourages them to, they kind of understand at that point that there's so much more to learn. And they realize, wow, I had no clue that all this stuff was going on here. I thought you just carried the gun and you'd point it in a general direction when somebody threatened you and you shoot them and they fall down and I go home. But it helps them to come to terms with the fact that they don't know everything there is to know about this, and it works out well for everybody. And so, and we had five people, I think, in this little class today, and three of them are wanting to come. Actually, all five of them are wanting to come back. A couple of them, I'm not sure if they will or not, but they're all wanting to. So it worked out pretty good. We had a lot of fun. And got them all fingerprinted and everything, and kicked out the door here about almost right at the top of the hour. So that left me scrambling to try to get everything done here. Been trying to listen to the shortwave here and listen for Edge of the Woods to come in. He got a hold of me here a few minutes ago, and he was about 20 miles out then, so he should be rolling in here pretty shortly. So we ought to have a good show tonight. It ought to be a lot of fun. Edge of the Woods and I have a very, very similar, I think probably identical taste in music, so this ought to go along pretty good. And Eddie Crump probably is not going to enjoy this show because we're not doing any rock and roll. We did a rock and roll song last week. That's going to have to hold you over for a month or so till we have a lapse in judgment and decide to do another rock and roll show. But I tell you, Eddie Crump's a hell of a good guy. We had a lot of fun up there, and I had the privilege of staying up there with those guys almost 2 weeks. Well, no, I stayed about 10 days with them. And, I had a ball. I don't know if they had as much fun as I had, but I had a blast. A lot of good things up there. And I'd like to go back up there again and do it again, yeah. Yeah, D, fingerprinted. Yep, fingerprinted. So, it's, that's the case here. All right, well, let's go on. I don't understand what the question was. Yep, fingerprinted, Iowa Cat. Yep, fingerprinted. Okay, now we've got that out of the way. Let's get on with it here.
Say I do. I want our love to be free. Every time I want you more than I did the time before. Can you stay with me for a while?
But I want the fire still burning bright, darling, on our wedding night. Let's wait till we walk down the aisle.
I don't wanna have to marry you.
I don't wanna have to say
say you have to go now that I want you so. I don't want to be alone.
The temptation is strong, but it's oh so wrong. Please stop and take me home.
I don't want to have to marry.
Thank you.
see a little discussion in the chat room there about a MRSA, man bag, man purse, you know, whatever you want to call it. I'm a pretty firm believer in that. In certain situations, I don't carry one all the time, but like when I went to the SHOT Show, it seemed prudent to be able to have the means to carry, you know, various things around, a couple of bottles of water, and I was a long ways away from my truck, so I figured that, here, stand by a second. I was a long ways away from my truck, so I figured having a trauma kit and a few odds and ends of things that I didn't have access to, and it was a long ways, you know, it would take me 20 minutes probably to be able to get to it, then I decided to go ahead and carry that man purse with me, and just to kind of stay on top of things. So I had extra ammo and, you know, a few little protein bars or granola bars or whatever it was. And then just some odds and ends, and it allowed me to carry a lot of the brochures and pamphlets and all the stuff we picked up at all the booths. So in that case, it was a great deal. Now, if you guys remember, a lot of you don't because this was way back, C7 would remember. Mountain Shooter probably remembers. But there was a time that Jason and I were involved in a law enforcement situation there in New Mexico, and we got to a place where we had the opportunity to help law enforcement catch some bad guys, and we were in a position where we could see the bad guys and we could see the good guys, but they couldn't see each other. So we were able to relay information to the cops to get them dialed in on these other guys. What we learned while we were sitting on the side of this hill, nothing we had to do, but we had the opportunity to help and saw that it was probably a good thing, so we did. What we learned up there on the side of that hill was that, you know, it would have been nice if we would have had a few little things like a bottle of water would have been awesome, sitting up there on the side of that hill in June or whenever it was. It would have been great if we would have had a way to see what was going on, a small set of binoculars or something. So we got to thinking about that, and we said, you know what? We looked at a number of different types of bags out there. We just didn't find anything that was just exactly the way I wanted it to be. I didn't want a full-blown backpack. Okay, be too basic, that'll be all right. And Edge of the Woods just popped in here, so in all of his splendor. So you want to get things unpacked? You want to do it after a little while? Get some music going. We'll drag up a seat. You're all wired up and ready to go there. All right. So we didn't find we tried several different bags, and they weren't just exactly what we wanted to do. And you know how I am. If it's not exactly what I want, then I don't want it. I want exactly. So we designed one. We designed what we called the Southwest Shooting Authority Recon bag. So we said we wanted something small, easy, to just something light to grab in case we, you know, run over the hill and got delayed for a little while, or something happened, and not a full blown kit, just a little something with a little money in it for whether it be for gas, for phone, for bribes, for bus fare, for whatever the case may be, a binocular, a GPS. And or radio, which nowadays you can very easily have both. And there was a 40-ounce water bladder in it. And there was we had it set up where in the back there was a pocket that was the right size for a 40-ounce bladder or ballistic plates. You could throw a plate in there, and you could have that where you could jerk it up there in front of you Don't laugh. I can go. I can tell you a big long story about how that came about. And yeah, that'd be okay. And then there was a pockets in the back there that were we'd set up with elastic deals for a weapon, extra magazine, baton, flashlight, whatever, a couple of zippered pouches, and it was just a really neat deal. It had a quick disconnect on the shoulder strap, so if you got in trouble and somebody got a hold of it and you needed to get out of it, you could hit that latch and get out of it real easy. So the whole thing just was a great deal. We used to have a lady in New Mexico that made them for us. And I had a guy here today that might be able to recreate these things for us. And we'll see. I'm going to let him take one and take it apart and see what it's like. We still have a few of the older ones left. If you go to YouTube, go to my channel, you'll find, just look up, I think it's Southwest Shooting Authority Recon Bag or something to do with recon bags. And you can, there's a good video there, an explanation of how it works and everything. And if I can't get some made just exactly like that, then I'm not going to make them. But I've got a guy here that I think can do that for me. So we should know something here in the next couple of weeks, and we may be able to get those back on the market. It was an awesome deal. We had some, you know, various colors and all that, and that's what I carried at the SHOT Show last year. So anyway, I'm going to put on another song here, and me and Edge of the Woods are going to get squared away and get him on the air, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
If Hang a Prince showed up on skin, wonder whose I'd find on you. I'm out of my mind with worry. You've been out all night again. But don't tell me, and I won't ask, where in the world have you been? I don't even want to know what you've been up to. But if Hang a Prince showed up on skin, wonder whose I'd find on you. This feeling, this hunger deep inside, for loving you's the only food that keeps my world alive. I wish I didn't want and need you. Heaven knows I do. If Hang a Prince showed up on skin, wonder whose I'd find on you. I can't help it, this feeling, this hunger deep inside, loving you, the only food that keeps my world alive. Wish I didn't want and need you, but heaven knows I do. If Hang a Prince showed up on skin, wonder whose I'd find on you.
Well, I love the rainy night, I love the rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good. Well, I love the rainy night, it's such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my legs. In the moonlight shadows, showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day, 'cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night.
I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good. Well, I love a rainy night, it's such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips, in the moonlight shadows. Put a song in this heart of mine, put a smile on my face every time, 'cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night. Oh, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night. Ooh, ooh. Showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day, 'cause I love.
But it seems we don't have time for love anymore. like we did before. It was burgers and fries and cherry pies. It was simple and good back then. Walking in the sand, hand in hand, never thinking that it could end. Said making our love with the moon above at the drive-in picture show. When it was burgers and fries and cherry pies in the world we used to know. Well, I'm still the same old me, and that's all I'll ever be. And I'd like to think that you're the same old you. We lost something down the line that I wish we both could find. While that we used to do, and it was burgers and fries and cherry pies. It was simple and good back then. Walking in the sand, hand in hand, never thinking that it could end. Said making our love with the moon above at the drive-in picture show. And it was burgers and fries and
close. sang Dixie as he died. People just walked on by as I cried.
Looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. when he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot. And the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals in cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rolled up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny says you don't back, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boy, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, where you don't fight, no child, no."
Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? And if you did, was she crying, crying? Hey, if you happen to see the most beautiful girl that walked out on me, tell her I'm sorry. What I had done, I stood alone in the cold gray dawn and knew I'd lost my morning sun. I lost my head and I said some things. Now comes the heartaches that the morning brings. I know I'm wrong, but I couldn't see. I let my world slip away from me. Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? And if you did, was she crying, crying?
you happened to see the most beautiful girl that walked out on me, tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I need my baby. Oh, won't you tell her that I love her? If you happen to see the most beautiful girl that walked out on me, tell her I'm sorry.
Well, there's always been groups of people that never could see eye to eye. But I always thought if they ever had a chance to sit down and talk face to face, they might realize they got a lot in common. Well, I was sitting in a coffee shop just having a cup to pass the time, swapping rodeo stories with this old cowboy friend of mine, when some motorcycle riders started snickering in the back and started poking fun at my friend's hat. And one old boy said, "Hey, Tex, where'd you park your horse?" My friend just pulled his hat down low, but they couldn't be ignored. One husky fella said, "I think I'll rip that hat right off your head." That's when my friend turned around, and this is what he said. "Ride a black tornado across the western sky, rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry, bulldog the Mississippi and it sears down flat, long before you take this cowboy's hat." Now partner, this old hat's better left alone. See, it used to be my daddy's. Last year he passed on. My nephew skinned the rattler that makes up this old hat band. But back in 69 he died in Vietnam. Now the eagle feather was given to me by an Indian friend of mine, but someone ran him down somewhere around that Arizona line, and a real special lady gave me this hat pin. I don't know if I'll ever see her again. "You'll ride a black tornado across the western sky, rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry, bulldog the Mississippi and it sears down flat, long before you take this cowboy's hat. If your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I guess we understand each other and we'll just let it be. But if you still think it's funny, man, you got my back up against the wall. And if you touch my hat, you're gonna have to fight us all." Well, right then I caught a little sadness in that gang leader's eyes, and he turned back to the others, and they all just kind of shuffled on outside. But when my friend turned back towards me, I noticed his old hat brim, well, it was turned up in a big old Texas grin. "You'll ride a black tornado across the western sky, rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry, bulldog the Mississippi ears down flat, long before you take this cowboy's hat."
Stand on it.
face, he had a mean streak 2 feet wide. A son of a gun with a taste for fun and more than his share of pride. Take a dirt road curve with the devil's nerve, make a car dance across the mud. And holler and shine was his regular line till the track got in his blood. Was a real hot shot and he bragged a lot, but man, that fool could drive. Cause he loved the feel of the steering wheel and the girls with the bedroom eyes. And in a racing tide or a barroom fight, old Stroker stole the show. A backstretch blazer, a real hellraiser, and a racetrack Romeo. Mama, lock your daughters up, that wild bunch is back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody's brakes have failed. There's a horse slick on the inside and a rick along the rail. You better stand on it, Stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail. It's a downright joy for a country boy when he hears them engines moan. But you gotta hang tough and it gets real rough when you're out there on your own. Cause they'll push you around, they'll knock you down, they'll shove you up against the wall. And you always know when the engine blows that a man can't win them all. You could push that car just a little too far in his Sunday afternoon. And if you break your neck, some damn fool wreck, they'd forget about you soon. But old Stroker Race was born to race and it's worth all the trying. Just to drink champagne in the victory lane and to hear that concrete. Wine. Stroker, get your dander up, this ain't no time to lag. You got to make a lap up if you're gonna take that checkered flag. Number 10 is closing in to even up the score. It's time to wave bye-bye and put the pedal on the floor. You better stand on this Stroker cause you're blowing off their door. Blow the doors off, Stroker. You good-looking devil.
Hey, Stroker, your hair looks real nice.
Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. Waiting in the front yard, sitting on a log, a single-shot rifle and a one-eyed dog. Yonder come our kinfolk in the moonlight, Louisiana Saturday night. Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them in the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. Jack, belly full of beer and a possum in a sack. 15 kids in the front porch light, Louisiana Saturday night. When the kinfolk leave and the kids get fed, me and my woman gonna slip off to bed. Have a little fun when we turn out the lights, Louisiana Saturday night. Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. Yeah, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. Shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night.
He was sitting there
is brush in hand, painting waves as they danced upon the sand. With every stroke, he brought to light the deep blue of the ocean against the morning sky. I ask him if he only painted ocean scenes. He said, for $20, I'll paint you anything. Could you paint me a Birmingham? Make it look just the way I planned. A little house on the edge of town. Porch going all the way around. Put her there in the front yard swing. Cotton dress, make it early spring. For a while she'll be mine again. If you could paint me a Birmingham. He looked at me with knowing eyes and took a canvas from a bag there by his side. Picked up a brush and said to me, son, just where in this picture would you like to be? Said, if there's any way you can, could you paint me back into her arms again? Could you paint me a Birmingham? Make it look just the way I planned. A little house on the edge of town. Porch going all the way around. Put her there in the front yard. Cotton dress, make it early spring. For a while she'll be mine again. If you could paint me a Birmingham. Paint me a Birmingham. Make it look just the way I planned. A little house on the edge of town. Porch going all the way around. Early spring, for a while she'll be mine again. If you could paint me a Birmingham. Oh, paint me a Birmingham.
Certain nights, if the moon was right, he'd dig it up out of the ground. Then he poured all out on the floor of his shack and he run his fingers through it. Yeah, Lucius Clay was a greedy old man, that's all that there was to him. But I couldn't believe it, just had to find out for myself, and I couldn't conceive it. I never would listen to nobody else, and I couldn't believe it. Just had to find out for myself. There's some things in this world you just can't explain. Hey, little boys, this white trash, you lived over on Carver's Creek. They were made of the snake, sneaky as a cat, and belligerent when they speak. One night, the oldest brother said, y'all meet me in the woodland swamp later. We'll take old Lucius's money and we'll feed him to the alligators. Found an old man out in the back with a shovel in his hand. 13 rusty mason jars he just dug up out of the sand. Then they all went crazy and they beat the old man and they picked him up off the ground. They threw him in the swamp and stood there and laughed as the black water sucked him down. And then they turned around, went back to the shack, picked up the money and ran. Hadn't gone nowhere when they realized that they were running in quicksand. And they struggled and they screamed, but they couldn't get away. And just before they went under, they could hear that old man laugh at it, a voice as loud as thunder. 50 years ago, you can go by there yet. There's a spot in the yard in the back of that shack where the ground is always wet. And on certain nights, the moon is right down by that dark footpath. You can hear three young men screaming. You can hear one old man laugh. You ever go back in the woody swamp, babe? Better not do it now. There's things out there in the building woods that make a strong man die for right. Things that crawl, things that fly, things that creep around on the ground. And you say the ghost of Lucius Clay gets up and he walks around. Well, I couldn't believe it. Just had to find out for myself and I couldn't conceive it. Never would listen to nobody else and I couldn't believe it. Just had to find out for myself. There's some things in this world you just can't explain. There's some things in this world you just can't explain.
See that mountain over there? Yeah, one of these days I'm gonna climb that mountain.
Like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to a
dancing, lots of feeling.
Cause that's where music has to start.
All right, there you go. We're going to take a break here a little bit and talk about other things. I've got Edge of the Woods in here with me. We've been sitting here talking, and we haven't been including you guys. We've blocked you out of our life, so we need to talk about what we've been talking about. Chuck, how was your drive over here tonight?
Green. I mean, folks are not used to New Mexico. They've been through it. Most of the time, it's yellow or brown or burnt. It looks like Ireland from Albuquerque to Cope's front door.
Yeah.
It is just purity green.
Yeah, that stretch over here between Springerville and here.
Oh, it's
where
beautiful.
You got, as far as you can see out there, it's just as green. Looks like football field out there. I can't believe how green it is.
It is, and you got more coyotes here than I know what to do with.
Coyotes and jackrabbits, we got plenty. We might sneak off tomorrow evening after the class and go out and
sounds good
see
to me.
If we can bust a few jackrabbits or something.
Speaking about classes, if you guys can make it up here, it's still time to sign up. We have openings still for our Battlefield Medic class, and I've changed it up some. Cope asked me to talk about get some stuff on hematomas, and a hematoma is a little different than a bruise. A bruise technically is a hematoma, but it generally is just there, and it's not that bad. Cope's had a couple of hematomas, and it was just, they're entertaining, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I can stand as much pain as any man, but I'm going to tell you what, that hematoma is no fun.
And draining them is just as bad. Draining them, I mean, but, you know, and there's a certain way to do it. There's a couple of methods that we use to do it, and the thing about a hematoma, to drain it, is you need to get the biggest needle you can grab hold of and put in there.
They're, you know, keep telling them about that. I'm going to get them, I'm gonna get them
some
something
pictures.
Interesting to look at here.
But, you know... And the thing about a hematoma, though, is you need to find out what caused it. I mean, if it was just you fell out of your truck and landed on a rock, that's one thing. But if you've actually bursted a blood vessel, you know, if that thing keeps on growing, you need to start thinking about getting some direct pressure in that, because you can't just go in there and put some quick clot on there and be done with. That thing is deep into the tissue. And let me tell you, folks, direct pressure, folks that are taking a class, you learn, if it's not hurting them, you're not putting enough pressure on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Well, what do we got here? Chat and go trouble. I know. Doc, you know, the latest Firefox update has been fantastic. I just upgraded mine last night on my Linux box, and it's been behaving really, really well. And I need to... My sound is turned on. Let me turn that off so I don't bust through here.
Guys, I'm going to put something in the chat room for you to look at while you're listening to Chuck here. And this is about the hematoma. This is what reminded me of the importance of this. And this guy right here, I'm going to tell you what, he ought to wear a kilt, because I don't know how his huevos will fit in trousers. He did this out in the field on his own, some Russian dude. And this guy has got his poop in a group here. So check this video out when you get a chance. It's 7 minutes long. don't want to miss any music for it, and you don't want to miss what Chuck's talking about to the class, but watch it when you get a chance.
But we've done a few add-ons in a class. I redid the IV portion of it, you know, a little bit better instruction and better book. The book, when I guess Irish was one of the first classes that we did on this thing here, and I think the booklet was only about 15 pages, 15, 20 pages.
Yeah, but he had the opportunity also to go through the live fire part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the first couple of classes we did out there had the live fire, which is great, but not essential. It does add some realism, and I think it's nice to do.
It's designed to do the classroom part first, then come back another day and do the live portion. That's the way to actually do it. But now the book is now 72 pages, double-sided. It's not. It's turned into an actual book. Also, when we get back, me and Jake are going to start actually getting the videos together. Our first one we're actually ready to start burning to disc is on IV starting. And maybe we'll get some here in his hematomas. But, folks, let me tell you, I mean, even just if you've ever had a blood blister underneath your fingernail, you smash that fingernail and you get that blood pulling up underneath there and pushing against the nail bed and pushing against the nail.
Yeah, that gives you a good idea of what going on. And then what when you stab that thing and let everything out. Did I ever tell you about that one I had in Germany?
Mm-mm.
Buddy, we were taking an engine an M60. And I had the tanker's bar, and I was pulling it up there, and somebody let go of something, and it jerked my hand over and caught it between. The tanks are pretty solid in
just
most places.
A little,
there's a lot of mass there. And I got my finger caught between that tanker's bar and the chassis of that tank, and I cussed, and it hurt, and I had an immediate huge blood blister coming up under that fingernail. And I had to walk over here about, it was 100 yards, over to the infirmary. And I went over there, and they wouldn't let me do it. You know, all you need to do is just heat up a paper clip and poke it, and it's all done. And the blood squirts out of there, and the pain goes away, and you go back to work and forget about it. I went over there, and I was there 45 minutes. Now, listen to what I'm telling you. I was there 45 minutes. They took my temperature. They took my blood pressure. I said, dude. Just take and I'm waiting 45. You know what that doctor did when he come back?
Mm.
He took a Bic lighter and a paper clip and stuck in my. I could have punched that some cotton picker in the mouth. I was so pissed I couldn't believe it. I could have done that 45 minutes ago and been working.
Yeah, but I mean it's just an idea. I mean that's just the easiest way to do it. Is just heat up a paper clip, a finishing nail, whatever you got on hand, bread tie. And it's burned through there.
Bailing wire, anything.
And burn it through there. But, I mean, hematomas are debilitating. I mean, it's just, and I can't believe we haven't had this in that course in all these years. Because I've been doing this for COPE for, gosh, I don't know, a long time. Let's leave it at that.
Did the first one, what, 2012?
In Pine Top, but we still did other ones prior to that in Farmington.
Well, yeah, you're right. We did, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, you need, you know, it's a good class. You know, it's... It is expensive in one fashion, but, you know, everybody is wanting to learn how to poke holes in people.
Yeah.
But realistically, though, what happens if somebody pokes a hole in your kid or your wife or even your dog? I mean, you know, poop hits the fan type of thing. Your dog's kind of an important member of your household, too.
And an alternative food source.
That's right. Well, that's, you know, like Concrete and I talk about the reservation seven-course meal.
Yep.
Puppy in a six-pack. Oh, well, we're going to get in trouble here on this one. But, you know, we got that in there. We've taken out some of the other stuff as, you know, it looked good on paper, and we did it one class, and it just didn't work out the way I wanted it to. it's a evolution, you know. Things change in the field. I mean, like when I taught the class for Irish, the rules of the game were on a tourniquet, you put it on, as life or limb. Well, we've come to find out that that's not like that anymore. Is from our soldiers and Marines in Afghanistan and Iraq, they've had men with tourniquets on 18, 20 hours. Doctor, take it off, fix their leg, fix their arm, whatever, and they had full use of it. Where, you know, 20 years ago, you used to put it on, take it off for 30 minutes, and your patient bleed out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... Combat Lifesaker, Life Taker, You know, what's one thing I found out about the military now is basically the class I'm taking is very similar to the combat lifesaver course that the military makes all combat arms soldiers go through, except they do it in a week. And let me tell you, folks, you know, it's important. You know, because, you know, you might have somebody, you know, an old Army medic or even an EMT, but and if you don't know what to do with that weed sitting next to you and you need it, you know, it's just one of those things. That's what we'll teach you. So, but yeah, like I said, if you guys can make it out here tomorrow, there's a few chairs still open.
You know, this makes it hard, probably harder for me maybe than it does for you, but it puts me in an awkward position, I feel like, sometimes when, you know, I do this for a living, and it's the only thing that I do, is teach people, whatever it is. So it makes it kind of hard when you say, look, you need to come take this class. You need to give me money to come take this class. And I try to tell people that, you know, if you ought to have at least two people out of your family or out of your group to take this class. What happened? One of you take it doesn't mean that you're qualified to turn around and teach the class there. You can give them some pointers. You give them, take good notes, and you teach them a little bit. But it doesn't make you an instructor.
No.
And so if you get out there and you get taken out, who's going to take care of your family? You know, at least two people in every family and every group need to take this class. It is not a first aid class. It is not an EMT class. It is beyond that. It is a poop hit the fan class.
Right. Like I tell every class about this right here is what I teach during this class here, if you do most of this stuff in a traffic accident in your hometown, you're probably going to get sued. Practicing medicine without a license. This is stuff that is reserved for if you don't do something, then somebody will die. You're out in the middle of the woods. Billy Joe puts a .30-06 round through his buddy. Or poop hits the fan. Katrina, Moore, Oklahoma, something like that. That's why I teach these courses. And I'm going to pop a link in there so you'll get an idea. The overall part of the course is still the same. But, you know, there's just been some additions, a little bit and all that. Let's see. Actually, here is... We'll pop this in here. And here's the class that we're actually doing this week.
certainly, it's... You know, one person is certainly better than none to take that. And one person can, you know, leave some notes, let people go through the book and everything, but it's not the same as being there in the class. So, you know, it kind of puts me at odds a little bit sometimes when I'm trying real hard to convince people to do this when that's what I do for a living. You know, if I could say, okay, Billy Bob's place over here does this and I'm pushing it real hard and you need to go do that, it's different when we're doing it and getting paid for it. You know?
Yeah, Tampico in there says he's a combat lifesaver, and I am so glad that the Army made all combat arms soldiers go to that course. Because, let me tell you, going back to, let's say, mid-90s, what was it, the Mogadishu little affair, we didn't have it. I mean, you had your squad medic, but nobody else really knew what to do. Nobody else knew how to start an IV. Nobody else knew how to intubate. Nobody else knew how to do anything. It's all up to your medic. And nowadays, with that combat lifesaver, it has saved so many people. Really, it has. And Dan McKay teaches a good class. And I know, Buck Tilton, they teach a really, really good course up there. Another one that's starting to come up here, and he's actually causing competition, is Cody Lundeen. He's a crazy guy off Dual Survival. But they're actually putting something together down in southern Arizona. And he's a really idiot and a half, know him personally. But let me tell you, though, if you're stuck out in the desert, he's the guy you want to learn how to live out for it with.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. He's a moron, but... Well, anybody, that one show I talk about during my classes on that Dual Survival, when they're showing the Civil War effort methods of stopping bleeding by packing a wound full of black powder and setting it on fire. Well, it'll stop the bleeding for a little while after you had dig out all that burnt powder out of that's been driven into the tissue, then the infection from the third-degree burn that you get.
Yeah, that's what I've always wondered about that. It always seemed kind of dumb to me. It seemed like the infection that you would get for that would far outweigh
Hell, yeah.
The
Katie Brad, yep, he's a barefoot guy. At Arizona Expo, yes, I am going to be there. Oh, heck yeah.
Cause the you know what you ought to do is you might ought to get a booth out there.
Yeah.
And,
Christina's talking about that.
Yeah, have Christine come to them and do some of her
stuff too. But, you know, we're talking about getting a booth out there and doing, like, you know, a suture class or something like that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, show folks the basics. Now, I'm not the biggest fan. Everybody wants to learn how to sew, but I am not the biggest fan of suturing in the field. There's much better ways to do it. A little piece of advice, go to Amazon, spend $7, get a staple gun. And then after that, go to Walmart, spend $2.97 to get a bottle of gel Loctite superglue. And you can fix just about anything you need.
Yeah.
Suturing is, leave it to the
experts. So yesterday.
Yeah. Leave it to the experts to do it, and, you know, and it takes too much time. I mean, even me, and I sew people for a living every day. It takes too much time, where you can pop 3 staples in somebody in under 5 seconds and be on your way.
Yeah.
Or you spend 20 seconds with super glue. Or you can spend 10, 15, 20 minutes sewing somebody up. And then you're going to have to cut it open because it's going to be infected. Let's see what else we got here. 2004, was that when they started a CLS? Oh, it took in the early 90s. Yeah, we have to apply it to take it then. Yeah, because that's when I got out, Tampico. I got out in 94. That's when I had enough fun with Comrade Clinton and his group, and that's when I took the early out there offering senior NCOs. So what else we got going on here? It's hard. It's fun to be on this side of the table at Cope instead of being 280 miles away. Need to fix that.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, too, you know, is, folks, if you got these Baofeng radios, use them. Get used to using them. They work amazingly. I'm sure in Cope, mine's still covered in mud from being in a flood, and I can't believe it still works. Normally these things have no waterproofing at all.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'd like to have about them. I wish they would have a little bit of water resistance.
They do make a version of the UV5R, and that yours right there, that's waterproof.
Yeah, but they're a lot more expensive.
Like, yeah. $90 for one of them. And
yeah.
For that,
but it might be worth it. You know,
well, for that, I'd buy a Yaesu.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, yep, the shoots, that's exactly right. That's when super glue came out, was in Vietnam. No, Yakima, let me get a picture of one of those for
I'll
you.
I'll get it. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, it looks more like your Stanley staple gun. It works in that fashion, except the staples are super soft aluminum. And some of them are even magnesium, because they need to be bent real easy. But it looks kind of like a Stanley stapler. You just go in, and and they come in different sizes and different loads. You know, the cheap ones have like 5 or 6 staples in them. The more expensive ones have 30, like the ones I carry have 35 staples in them. And I got asked in one class, you know, well, if you use it on one person and you only want to use 5 staples out of 30, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to drop it in a bottle of Everclear.
Yeah.
And use it again if I need to. Uh-oh, I'm saying Tampico wrong.
Well, it depends. Tampico is correct the way it was, but if you're in Washington, they call it Tampico. But if you're in Mexico, it's Tampico. Tampico.
Tampico.
But okay. In Washington, they call it Tampico.
Okay, well, you guys can keep that up there. We have our own thing. But no, the staple guns are great. They are so useful. Anybody can use them. I mean, when I do the class, what does it take, Cope? About 2 hours to do a simple block of instruction on the wound, on the suture.
Yeah, we do spend way too much time on
and
that.
And it takes five minutes to show somebody to use a staple gun and throw a few staples into a pork roast, and there you go. That's all you need to know.
Here's the cut. Wash it out a little bit, pull the skin together, and staple it up. Okay, next block of instruction.
That's it. You know, suturing. Now, I mean, I'm saying you don't need to learn how. You do, because are you going to be able to refill that staple gun if there's no more staples being made? And the answer is no. You can't reload them. You can't reuse them. You can't go down and get your Stanley T71s and stuff in there. It just won't work. So you do need to learn how to suture. But also, there are better methods. I mean, heck, even Steri-Strips and Pine Sap is far superior than suturing, because you can take it off. It'll allow a wound to bleed. And, you know, that's the biggest thing about suturing is, if you're out in the middle of the woods, can you be 100% positive that it is perfectly clean before you close it up completely?
Right.
Where a staple, you know, they leave a gap. And they don't do as pretty as a scar as a suture, but the staple is designed for wounds that are going to bleed, and if you don't have everything out of it.
You know, that was a pretty good scar.
That was a good
right
one.
Right there. And no staples, no sutures. That was all super glue. Super glue
I
right
remember
there.
That.
And
you learned a lesson about putting too much in there.
Yeah. But that's a good-looking scar.
It is.
It's clean and straight, and there's not a dimple in it. I've got scars all over me. The doctors did.
That's
it looked like hell.
That's a super glue scar right there.
Yeah.
That's not. Okay. Yes, Minnie, it does hurt. But the thing about it is it hurts less than the sutures because it's 20 times faster.
You know, Minnie, it also depends on how fast you get to it.
Right.
Because there's you know, shock is a wonderful thing to a degree. And, you know, there's a certain amount of numbness in most of your traumatic wounds like that. And if you get to it right away and get it cleaned out and get it stapled, the pain is probably not any worse than the pain that you already have, and you probably won't even feel it. If you're not able to do it pretty quickly and some of that shock wears off, then it's going to be more painful each one of those that you clip in there. Right. But
actually, Iowa cat, it is not. It's just the tissue is flaccid, but a pork roast is very, the skin, you get one of the, you know, we buy the type of pork roast here that's full of fat and has a big skin on it because they make the best pozole. But a pork roast with the skin on it is very, very similar to our skin. And you'd be surprised how hard it is to push that needle through that roast. Another thing we changed too is we changed a little bit. I totally redid the part on shock because, you know, we just cover the bare basics of shock. You know, if the face is pale, lift the tail. If the face is red, lift the head, and that's about it. But realistically, there's five different types of shock, and they all require to be treated differently. And we're going to be spending more time on that type of stuff. And also another thing we're going to be spending on we've never done before is how to use oxygen. Most folks don't know how to use it correctly. And also, too, you don't have to have the green bottle that says USP oxygen on it. Your welding set. If you got a welding set, you have oxygen that's about a tenth of the cost of getting a prescription oxygen. And the only difference in it is 1/100th percent of purity. Welding oxygen is what, 99.9% pure? Medical grade oxygen is 99.99% pure. Pork roast ain't alive, that's true. That's true on that. Chicken, Deschutes, yep, is good. I do actually most of the suturing classes on chicken breasts or chicken thighs because it's a lot harder to suture it without pulling the needle, pulling the suture through it. That's exactly right. But yeah, we added more in shock. We added more on battle dressings, did the different types of dressing, how to administer oxygen, and how to set up your welding set to be able to give oxygen to somebody.
Tampico Scout, when you're in shock, it's a killer, yeah. But the shock that you get, like from cutting a finger off. You're in shock. The body takes care of you. But there's a difference between being in shock and the shock of, I know what you're saying, but you know, when you cut that finger off or that arm off, and it's painless for a little while because shock is your body's protection. When the whole body goes into shock from a traumatic wound, yeah, that is a killer, real quick, and that should be learned. You should learn to take care of that rapidly, and one of the first things that you do. But it's a little bit different than the shock of a minor wound.
Minnie, it's a staple remover, and believe it or not, you can use your desktop staple remover. It'll work too, but there's a special one made. It's about $3 on Amazon. But yeah, C7, yeah, you know, I mean, well, okay, I know Cope has done this back in his days before he got a little bit better, but if you ever came home from a party and then had to go to work and ran your oxygen.
I was just going to say, I know, I didn't tell you how to use oxygen correctly. You just take the hose and put it in the cab and roll the windows up and turn it on.
And don't smoke a cigarette.
Drive to work while you're breathing oxygen. Sure helps with those hangovers.
It does. But it's, you know, it's a good class, and it's something that is undertaught in a survival in the survival circles, you know, outside of
survival circle. You made a funny.
I made a funny. I couldn't think of the dang word to say.
But like survival I said, community.
Community, that's it. It is starting to get better, and there are more and more classes coming up on it. But, you know, and if you, even if it's not mine, take one. I'd rather you take mine, but take one. Like Cope said, you know, and take as many people as you can to take it, the whole family.
Well, sometimes you can get a discount when you take four or five people. You might get a, you know, $50 a head knocked off or something to help.
But
depending on where you're going, I guess.
And also, too, you know, one thing we teach, we also show is how long to leave staples and sutures in. You know, and different parts of the body have different times. A scalp is one time period. Your hand is another. If it's over a joint, it's even another. That's the nice thing about super glue. Super glue takes itself off. 14 days later, between 8 to 14 days, it's coming off. What's Doc talking about? He's getting people sick again in here.
Let's listen to a song here before we run everybody off.
All right.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just that off about from San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. There's a beat trap with my head sound my town. No local yoga gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger wound and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam. Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kinda just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. Now I'm smoking in a Texas with a hammer down and a rocking little combo from a guitar.
Remember with me, alcohol. man's embarrassing speech, and also for those naked pictures of you at the beach. I've influenced kings and world leaders. I helped Hemingway write like he did. I'll bet you a drink or two that I can make you put that lampshade on your head. 'Cause since the day I left Milwaukee, Lynchburg, Port-au-Prince, I've been making a fool out of folks just like you.
Fine. Now we've acquired you happy. But darling, let me say before I leave, these sticks and stone ain't all that makes a home. They don't have arms to hold you when love goes wrong. Now you say we are through. These sticks and stones may break me, but the words you said just
nothing worse could ever happen. Seeing you with someone else proved that I was wrong. And when your eyes met mine, I knew that you were gone forever. Along with all the reasons I had for hanging on. I'd be better off in a pine box, on a slow train back to Georgia, or in the gray walls of a prison doing time. I think I'd rather die and go to hell face the devil than to lie here with you and him together. I always thought that someday we might get back together. I just thought you needed time to spread your wings and fly. When I saw the love and wave you held on to each other, it was all that I could do not to break right down. In a pine box, on a slow train back to Georgia, in the gray walls of a prison doing time. I think I'd rather die and go to hell and face the devil than to lie here with you and him. Used to wonder if she'd ever meet someone
that wouldn't find out about me and then turn around and run. I met the man I call my dad when I was 5 years old. He took my mom out to a movie, and for once I got to go. A few months later, I remember lying there in bed. I overheard him pop the question, and I prayed that she'd say yes. And then, all of a sudden, all it seemed so strange to me, how we went from something's missing to family. Looking back, all I can say about all the things he did for me. Cause I hope I'm at least half the dad that he didn't have to be. I met the girl that's now my wife about 3 years ago. We had perfect marriage, but we wanted something more. Now here I stand, surrounded by our family and friends, crowded round the nursery window as they bring the baby in. And now all of a sudden, oh, it seems so strange to me how we've gone from something's missing to family. Looking through the glass, I think about the man standing next to me. And I hope I'm at least half the dad that he didn't have to be. Looking back, all I can say about all the things he did for me is I hope I'm at least half the dad that he didn't have to be. Yeah, I hope I'm at least half the dad. He didn't have to be. You know he didn't have to be.
Jeans on. it just comes naturally. Now the girl can't help it. Well, up on Main Street by the taxi stand, there's a crowd of people and a traffic jam. She don't look back, she ain't doing nothing wrong. Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans on. Just comes naturally. No, the girl can't help it. Down on the corner by the traffic lights, everybody's looking as she goes by. They turn their heads and they watch her till she's gone. Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans on. Heaven help us, baby's got her blue jeans on.
All right, here we go. I have a cat. We've got your, I told you that smoking does slow down healing. We're going to let you hear it from our resident expert now.
It does. It really, really slows down the healing process because it affects different levels, especially in clotting. It affects factor 8, factor 10 of the clotting factors. So heavy smokers bleed more. And I can tell you from experience, I smoked from October 27th, 1983 to 5 years ago. And the reason why I know the exact date I started smoking, because the day before I got shot in Grenada, and the chief medical officer was going through the battalion aid station handing out packs of cigarettes. But
there you go. You're going to die anyway. Go ahead and smoke some of these.
But it does. It slows down the healing process. The body's collagen breaks down faster. It's one of the things, the glues that glues everything together. Bones, it slows down the healing of bones, and especially respiratory problems. If a lot of times smokers have a lot more respiratory issues, colds, flus. Well, not so much flus, but bacterial infections. Pneumonias are really bad. In folks, right, and I bet you know, we talked about this before, Iowa Cat, but yeah, you know, I'm not one of the ex-smokers that gets on the bandwagon and starts, you know, condemning everybody who smokes. You know, it's your choice, do it, you know, but I will tell you from a medical professional that it is much more damaging than we ever knew it was 15, 20 years ago. It really, really affects the body. On another hand of it, though, if you smoke the quote-unquote organic cigarettes, and they're very expensive, and you don't smoke a lot of them, it's nowhere near as bad. But you smoke Marlboro, Winston's, or whatever like that, you got to see the additional chemicals they put into them. And it's there for one purpose only. But tobacco is used as a healing agent. You can use tobacco a lot for healing. Tobacco is great for if you have internal parasites. It's great for that. It's great to pack in a wound. Tobacco by itself like that will act as a really good topical antibiotic. But when you're smoking the modern forms of cigarettes, so it's bad. And also these e-cigs are really cool, and everybody's got them. It's showing now, you know, that they probably are a little bit worse because they are pure chemical cocktails. So, yeah, but yeah, also too, even if you're not a heavy smoker, it's still bad on it. Also too, you know, you might have some other issues you'll need to look at. I'll talk to you off the air about that one of these days. Yes, we were. I was with C First to the 75th in Panama. We got to play all the fun music out there. Well, Katie Brad, that was a very, very long time ago. Organic smokes. What's that one? Natives here in New Mexico. They're made in Santa Fe. They are just tobacco. There's nothing added to them. And if you're going to smoke a cigarette, that'll be the one to smoke. Just don't smoke a lot of them. But any of them, though, I've done enough autopsies on smokers, and it does tear you up. Even me, after I quit 5 years ago, I still don't have the same wind as somebody my age that's never smoked.
Mm-hmm.
American Spirits is another good brand. You know, those are the ones that are made here in New Mexico also. You know, but I can't really say on smoking, you know, I'd say it's bad for you, and if you can quit, do it. However, I want to tell you one of the things that isn't true about quitting smoking is all the extra money that you save off a $50 carton, it goes elsewhere. It does really quick. And I know a lot of folks, in fact, I got a few folks in our group up here that actually grow their own tobacco. They figured out a way to get it to grow in New Mexico. And they grow their own, and they know exactly what's in it, and actually they smoke the same amount as they did before, but believe it or not, they actually look, they don't have that smoker's look to their skin. But it's, the 1950 commercials, you know, but realistically, though, if you can get off of them, get off of them, because there's going to come a time really soon when you're not going to be able to get them, unless you grow your own. And things are going to be bad enough and having to go through the withdrawals of that at the same time, it's going to cause issues.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. So, well, I'll quit when I have to, when they're not around. But you look at all the problems we're going to have anyway, and to add that to it just seems retarded to me. You got enough damn things going on. It would seem to me that it would be much more beneficial to go ahead and get that behind you now. Not only for your health, but for everybody else's, for your family and your group's well-being, not to have those things where you, and being a very heavy ex-smoker, I can tell you that if I was forced to stop cold turkey like that, my head's not going to be in the game as much. I'm going to be worrying about more where I can beat somebody to death for their cigarettes, you know. Or
I've seen that in combat.
Still, I'll bet. I don't doubt that a bit.
I've seen that in combat. And I was one of them, because in 1984 was the last C-Rats that came with cigarettes, because a few months after that is the MREs came out.
Yeah.
And then that's, what was his name? C. Edward Koop.
84, that was two years after I went in, or 2 years before I went in.
You know, and that's when the last C-Rats came with cigarettes in them. And see, I mean, when you're out in the field, you know, you had cigarettes. And then after that, you sort of had to buy them. And then you're on extended deployments out in, we used to call in the Army, Bravo, Foxtrot, Echo. And and there's no cigarettes. And you start seeing a lot of privates, a lot of sergeants, either one, making a lot of money, or two, you see people waking up in ditches with heads caved in.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a cigarette. It's a...
So how does anybody think that's going to be any better when you have no regulation, no chance of being caught and court-martialed or Article 15 or anything? You know, when it's a free-for-all, it just seems to me that it would be much more beneficial to everybody that you're involved with to be done with it. Start working on it now and be done with it before poop hits the fan.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a... You know, if you're going to have a vice that you're going to have, you know, when poop hits a fan, alcohol is the one that's easiest to get to take care of, because you can make it. You know, 2 weeks you can have beer, and, you know, 4 hours after you have beer, you have whiskey. You know, it's a thing that, you know, I teach classes on that one too. You've heard me say on my show many, many times, you know, my top five survival items are my gun, my knife, my brains, and my pressure cooker. You know, because with that, you know, we've talked about it many times before. Pressure cooker will do so many things that you never even thought of, besides the stuff that happened in Boston.
Yeah.
So, you know, get out of it. Get, you know, if you're smoking, please try to quit. You know, do what it takes. I will give you a piece of advice. If you're a combat veteran or you got PTSD, do not take Chantrix. Seriously, it's bad. It's bad.
And I'll tell you something else that will help you quit. And I told B2 Basic this. I don't know if she's been doing it or not. But I'll tell you something else that helps a whole lot, and that is anything cinnamon. Cinnamon gum, dentine, cinnamon, you know, candies or something. They're cinnamon toothpaste. And keep that cinnamon taste in your mouth all the time, and your cigarettes taste like crap. So you just have to have the willpower to keep the cinnamon. Cinnamon's a pleasant taste. And if you keep doing that, your cigarette's going to keep tasting like crap, and it makes it a whole lot easier.
Okay, but yeah, you know, there's just... It's, you're going to have enough things to worry about. There's more than enough things to worry about than trying to figure out where that next smoke's coming from. Or unless you like folks that live down south or live up, or like a few folks that I know here that grow their own tobacco. But, you know, and it's, a, you know, if you're going to do that, then heck, you got yourself one heck of a trading option
right
there.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, tobacco, booze, and, well, never mind. This is a family show. But you can, and I mean, and like I said, tobacco has other uses besides smoking or chewing or dipping. I mean, it's been a natural medicine in this country because it's only native to this country for thousands of years here in the United States. And it wasn't until the Europeans came here and took it back to the old world that they figured out some of the other properties of it. It's a really good thing to have on hand like that. I mean, getting almost time to... it's getting close to that time here.
Getting close.
Yeah, the sheets, you know, pressure cookers. I mean, what I like about the pressure cooker is, you know, you can cook a meal with a quarter of the fuel in a pressure cooker than you would on top of the stove in a skillet. And poop hits the fan, fuel's a big thing, whether it's wood, paper, gasoline, alcohol.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. You know, they're really, really good. What do we got going on here?
Play a song while you check it in.
Okay.
With the evening news, had a pair of old wool socks on his hands. The bank sign flashing five below. It was freezing rain and spitting snow. He was curled up behind some garbage cans. I was afraid that he was dead. I gave him a gentle shake. When he opened up his eyes, I said, "Old man, are you okay?" He said, "I just climbed out of a cottonwood tree. I was running from some honeybees. Drip drying in the summer breeze. After jumping in Calico Creek, I was walking down an older road, past a field of hay that had just been mowed. Man, I wish you just left me alone, 'cause I was almost home." He said, "I was just coming round the barn about the time you grabbed my arm, when I heard Mama holler, 'Son, hurry up.' I was close enough from my old nose to smell fresh cobbler on the stove, and I saw Daddy loading up the truck. Cane poles on the tailgate, bobbers blowing in the wind. Since July of 55, that's as close as I've been. Yeah, I just climbed out of a cottonwood tree. Calico Creek.
just climbed out of a cottonwood tree. I was running from some honeybees, drip drying in the summer breeze, after jumping in the calico creek.
Here on the earth.
right, guys, that's it. We got to get out of here. We got a big class this morning. Starts early in the morning. We got 2 full days of being on our feet here, so we're going to have to give it up. I hope you guys have a good weekend. And I'll tell you that this different subject from the classes and everything else we've been talking about, but this battle flag thing has just about pissed me off where I can't stand it. It was, you know, I never paid much attention because it's just a damn flag. It was just it's a piece of cloth hanging on a pole. You know, I liked looking at it. It's a neat flag. I had no problem with it one way or the other. Didn't care. And now they're doing all this, and I am as pissed off as anybody from Alabama or Mississippi or anywhere else. Cannot believe what's going on down there. And I'll tell you, I watched them. That was a part of our heritage, whether you like it or not. When they took that flag down from the South Carolina Capitol building, I damn near cried. I couldn't even believe what I was watching. I couldn't believe that those people would, you know, and they had a half a dozen cops standing out there watching. They should have run over them and went up there and put that damn flag back up. Couldn't believe that they allowed that to happen. Just amazing to me. I was sick, and it irks me till I can't stand it. But I saw a meme today that I love, and I'm going to go find it again, and I'm going to steal it and use it and probably put it on my profile picture on Facebook. And it had two guys stand there. I don't remember if they were on horses or what, but there was one holding the United States flag and one holding the battle flag, and it said, "This time we ride together, partner." And I loved that. That was very, very cool. I'm going to go find it before I leave this computer tonight, and I'm going to steal it and put it up on my deal. I love that. So I swear, I don't know which one of these things is pissing me off worse that's going on in this country, but that's surely one of them. All right. I want everybody to have a good weekend. Think about if you can find something positive to think. I can think of something positive, like choking the liver and snot out of a liberal. That's a positive thing. That's one of the things that makes me happy. So, anyway, we'll be back Monday. Amy will be back at her regular time. We'll have a report for you on the class and everything. So I'm going to get on out of here. Let me find my button here to push. And we'll see you all Monday. Thanks for joining us.
It seems that you've changed in these past few days.
Okay, that about wraps it up for another edition of Liberty Lounge on this Friday evening. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join me again Monday morning for Amy's show, Living Way Out Here, at 8 o'clock Pacific Time, and The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Remember that your life is a gift from God. How you spend it is your gift to Him. Good night.
And it's all over. I called you on the phone just to find out what was wrong, and the things you said made my suspicions real. You said tonight again you had to stay with this sick friend. But that story I'm not buying, 'cause it's all over but the crying. It's all over but the crying. I never
said I love you. Now I'll say my goodbye. 'Cause it's all over but the crying. It's all